Hello, I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and welcome to the In Conversation With series, a series where I speak to notable figures in the realm of financial services. Listen as they share their personal journeys, thoughts on the industry, and advice for aspiring advisors. Join us at Money Marketing Interactive London on the 29th of September. Just go to mmilondon.moneymarketing.co.uk to secure your seat at our industry leading event and hear from notable figures in the industry. See you there. And today I'm joined by Kevin C. I'm going to let Kevin introduce himself because he can do a better job than I ever could. So go ahead.
Thank you, Kim. So yes, I'm Kevin C. I'm a chartered financial planner at Robson Lister Wealth Management. We're a chartered independent firm based in the Midlands. And I guess I'm here today to talk about how I went from listening to these types of podcasts, trying to break into the industry and become an advisor, to joining you, Kim, today
here
to discuss my journey.
Yeah, that sounds really great. So let's start from the beginning. How did you get into financial services?
So this will be from the very beginning. So I left college. I didn't go to university, although my mum wanted me to go to university.
So I can imagine.
I did defer my place at University of Birmingham for a year just to keep her happy. But I never took that avenue. It was more because I just wanted to start my career and start learning as soon as possible. So I started in retail banking and I worked in the lending side. I moved on from there into advising on mortgages, effectively. So did my mortgage qualifications and started helping people with their mortgages, helping them buy homes and remortgage. And it was there, I'd say, I realized I'd found where I wanted to be, that giving advice is my passion, and helping people with the financial decisions. So after achieving everything I wanted to within mortgages, you can only go so far. I would say it's a very transactional role because you'll help a client purchase their home, and then you probably won't speak to them again until their fixed rate or their rate finishes after two or 3 or 5 years. Yeah. So that, you know, you build a great relationship and then you won't speak to them again for a couple of years. So that's where I did a lot of research and decided I wanted to move and progress into the IFA side and add more strings to my bow in terms of investments and pensions. Mm-hmm. Now, just as I'm sure everybody else trying to break into the industry has found, it's very challenging if you don't have either the qualification or you don't already have industry experience. So I just thought I'd better get my head down, and I put myself through the diploma whilst being a mortgage advisor. Mm-hmm. And even after I completed my diploma, for the next few months, I'd say I still struggle to get interviews for a power planner or trainee advisor. So I would say for anybody out there in the same position, you just need to keep going, because a few months on from that was when I started to get interviews, and that's when I started at my current firm as a trainee advisor, which is good, because although it was a trainee advisor role, because I didn't have any industry experience, I actually started as a power planner for the first 12 months. So I really got to learn the technical side, and I got to learn the bugbears, effectively. So the pains that they feel, so to speak.
Well, I find that quite interesting because it feels like quite a common path now for a lot of people to start off like either as an admin and then moving on to power planner. Do you think that's like a good way of getting your feet wet in this industry?
Yes, definitely, because as an advisor, you work very closely with your support team, with your power planners and your admin. So when they, you know, if they're asking you a question about what to do, if you haven't done the role, I would imagine it will be quite difficult to give them that support that they need. Mm-hmm. So I would say if that as a route would be, I found anyway, very useful. And it not only on the technical side, it helps in meetings because you can talk about the process and how platforms work to your clients instead of just talking high level and about financial advice. Because in almost all of my meetings, clients will ask me for my help in completing forms, or after I issue my advice, that they'll ask, you know, which box do I tick, even though we try and help them as much as possible before. So just having that knowledge is a good tool to have.
Yeah. So what for you, what was the transition like from kind of being in the back office and not really having to deal with the clients to, you know, starting to go out there and meet with clients? What was that transition like?
It's certainly a big jump. I mean, I was very fortunate at my firm because it was a smooth transition in the fact that I attended the meetings as paraplanners do, and so I really got to see what's involved in the meeting. And then before running my own meetings, I did a few role plays within just internally, because there's as awkward as they may be, there's nothing more awkward than going into a meeting unprepared. But I think you can never be fully prepared for a meeting. I try and over prepare as much as I can, but a client will always throw a curveball in. So you've got to make that leap at some point if that's the career path you want to follow.
Yeah. And like, in terms of those curveballs that clients might throw in, how do you deal with those? Like, how do you approach that? Do you have to have like quick thinking, or like, what is that?
Certainly. I would say one of the skills you quickly develop as an advisor is to think on your feet, because the clients will ask you a number of questions, and there's just so much to remember that you need to be able to think quickly and answer in a way that they will understand also. So try not to use, I mean, the industry is terrible for it, but try not to use jargon, technical jargon. But in terms of how it, as you said, it's just experience. I think that the more times you get to learn how to deal with it, and there's nothing wrong with saying to a client that you need to go away and do some research before coming back to them. That is one thing I would definitely say is a top tip, a top tip that I was given. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than trying to wing a meeting and then having to go back to a client to say
and pretend that you know everything.
That's it, because we're only human. We are experts in our field, but to know everything off the top of your head, it's a big ask. So it's perfectly fine to go back to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is, I think it's very admirable to be able to be like, hey, I'm not going to try and, you know, answer this question. Let me go and do my due diligence and just make sure that I do the best I can for you, you know.
That's it. I think it builds credibility with the client as well, especially if they're meeting you for the first couple of times, because they can see you take the job very seriously and you're very thorough before going back to them with an answer.
Yeah. And I see that you said that you put an emphasis on like building relationships with your clients, and how do you think you stand out in terms of like the way that you do that? How do you develop those relationships from like initial conversation and onwards, like progressing?
So I would say it's whenever you have a meeting with a client, it's not about their finances, so to speak. It's about their life. They don't want to talk about they will want to talk about their investments and their pensions, but it's more about what it buys for them, what it means to them, the life it will give them. So the way that I try to build the relationship is to really get to know them from the start, find out about them, their career, what they did before, what their interests are, what their passions are, and what their plans are, as I said, aside from the finances, because ultimately that's that is what the job is. It's helping them achieve their life goals through investing and saving in your pension.
Mm-hmm. And do you ever have difficulty developing relationships with any of the, is there any of those situations where you're like, what happens in situations where you're like, I just don't think I mesh well with this person? Do you just refer them to someone else? What is that? Or has happened to you?
So touch wood, that hasn't happened. Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened yet. I think we said before this podcast started, everybody's different. So you won't build a great connection with everybody, but as long as you build enough rapport with them to show the client that you do actually care about what they want and what their needs are, mm-hmm. and that you're listening, mm-hmm. It's perfectly fine to just show them that you're doing a great job for them. If they don't want the small talk side, I mean, it does vary from meeting to meeting. Some meetings will be around just a nice catch up with them effectively, but other meetings it will be straight down to business and a bit of rapport at the start. So it's just adjusting it for each client, but no, Kim, fortunately I haven't had that had to hand off a client yet due to that.
That's good. Let's fingers crossed it keeps that way, you know. So moving away from client stuff, you have made our shortlist for the Money Marketing Awards Financial Advisor to Be category. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. I was very shocked.
Were you? Really? You didn't think, all the things that you just said exemplify, why you are one of the, financial advisors to be,
No, thank you, Kim. I'd say I was definitely shocked because I'm still very early on in my career. I said I was doing the power planning for the first 12 months. So I've only been advising for the past 2 years. I've been at my firm, coming up to 3 years now. So especially when I look at the other advisors within the category, some of them have got their own firms. So the scale that where they are in their careers compared to me, that's why I would say I was shocked. But nonetheless, I'm very proud.
Is owning your own firm something you aspire to do at some point in your career?
I think in the long term, yes, but it's not. I've still got so much to learn that it's not something I'm thinking about. Anytime soon. My main focus is just to build my experience and build my client bank. So have more experience of dealing with different types of clients. Because as I said, I'm a long way off before being at that stage.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you'll get there. So you found out about, being a financial planner through the fact that you were working in financial services for such a long time, but obviously when you left college, I'm assuming you had no idea what a financial planner was or a financial advisor.
No, just as I'm sure most college, kids leaving college don't know what a financial planner, or as a job title, I don't even think that they know that it exists.
So do you, this might be way out of your mindset, you're this is a big question to ask, but do you have any recommendations or what you think the industry could do to make it more apparent, financial planners, because there are always calls for we need more financial planners, we have way more work than we're able to actually see to. If you were talking to the IFA that you're working at now, and they're we're looking for more talented advisors like you, how do we, source them out? What would your advice be?
So I would say definitely you would need to start at the source. So financial education, it needs to, in my opinion, become part of the school curriculum, because I think how can you expect somebody at school or college to know about financial planning or financial advising, investments, pensions, when they don't even teach them about what a mortgage is at school, you know, or how tax works, what a pension is. So it definitely needs to start. I think once financial education is within the schools, then you can attach onto the back of that as a that is a career path, you know, for financial planning in itself. I'd also say there needs to be more presence at career fairs, because I remember when I was at college, there's, you know, there's career fairs, but it would always be the typical accountancy firms, law firms, you know, just the typical career routes there, and there wasn't so much on the wealth management, financial planning side. But something we're doing at our firm, which I think is a start, is to take on use apprenticeships. So we've taken on apprentices in the past, and we're taking a new apprentice on in September, and I think that is a good way to try and get people early on in their career, and just to give them a chance.
I think that's a really good way of entry. I know quite a few of my friends who've done apprenticeships in various different careers that they'd never thought about, and now they're very fulfilled and happy in those. So and also they're able to make a bit of money while they're, you know, studying and working. And I think, having gone to university myself and also never used the degree that I got, I think that would have been a better path for me to do something more active, where I'm like learning and working at the same time. Because, you know, you come out of school, you didn't experience this because you made the right decision and went straight to work, but you come out of university and they're like, where's your experience? And you're like, but I got the degree that everyone told me I should be getting, right? But you know, you eventually build up that experience. So I think apprenticeships are very important. So having been someone who kind of started working in retail banking, do you think it made you have, because you talked about financial education earlier and how, you know, people, younger people need to have that financial education that they don't have. Do you think it gave you a better position and a better understanding because you kind of came out of college and you were working in retail banking? Did it help you manage your money better?
I was very fortunate. So in my upbringing, I'm the youngest of four. We were brought up by my mum. So she really instilled in me from a very young age about the importance of saving. So when I even had my first job, my first salary, my first month's pay, it was very much, you know, you need to save this much and then you can spend this much. So it's all about saving before you spend and planning ahead, so to speak. So I would say that my financial training early on, I was very fortunate that it came from my mum. But as I said, if they make it available in the schools, then it's available to everybody instead of just whether or not your parents teach you the basic principles.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to me today, Kevin. And good luck at the awards. I hope to see you there.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
No, thank you very much for your time, Kim.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation With. We do hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all our new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition Money Marketing magazine. So make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.